December 21st. All right? Last year, when we hung out last year. Here was the deal. We left, and I told you that my hope for you, what I was praying for you, was that your break would be full of much more than just vacation and food and families and gifts. That you would be able to have a real experience, a real worship experience with Jesus Christ. And so I hope, and I've prayed, that that would be the case. So that if that is the case, I would love to hear that afterwards. Right? I would love for you to come talk to me and tell me the experience that you had, and for you to share that and encourage me with that. So I hope that that thought is not too distant now that we've had 2 weeks, but that you realize our goal is not to be immersed in what's going on. Our goal is not to be jacked about vacation and jacked about presents, but that we want to passionately love Jesus Christ. And so I hope that you are able to do that this break. All right? As you can see on the screen, we are starting a new series today. It's a 3-week series. It will last until the end of January. In February, we will start a series in Ephesians. And so the series today is entitled Church. So here's the deal. As JJ said this morning, we are going to look at some things. We're going to look at 3 topics. We're going to look at baptism. We're going to look at communion. We're going to look at tithing. And all 3 of these have to do with our relationship with the church. All 3 of these are discipleship issues. All 3 of these, I feel like, we have not taught on. All right? And so that we are not equipping you in these areas. And so we want to do so next 3 weeks, just to hit some major things about the church and our relationship with it. So that's where we're going. Today, we're going to look at baptism. All right? Some of you may have some questions. That is cool. Guess who did not do that slide? I did not. If I did, it'd be white, as you've seen, and have a sine curve on it. Here's the deal. There is a lot of confusion on baptism, so here's where we're going to start. I'm going to start by giving you my baptism experience. All right? We're going to look at my baptism experience. Unlike you, or most of you, I grew up in a Baptist church. Any of you Baptist church? Yeah, represent. Like to hear. All right. Here's the deal. I grew up in a Baptist church, and as you might imagine, baptism was very important in a Baptist church. I know that might throw you off, but I'm just saying, if a denomination gets its name from baptism, it's probably going to take it pretty seriously. All right? And so baptism was a big deal. Here's what happened. As soon as you became a Christian, you were baptized. We did what we call a believer's baptism. Anybody want to get their phones? Laura? Baptism. Just ignore the people in the back. Ignore the leaders in the back. They're always causing trouble. Baptism was a really important thing. We did what's referred to as a believer's baptism, which means when you become a Christian, you're baptized. And so for me, I became a Christian when I was 7 years old. Shortly thereafter, I was baptized. Don't know why. I mean, didn't really understand it. All I knew is that's what you did. You became a Christian, you were baptized. I remember we did meet with our pastor, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, that we went through something kind of explaining what baptism is, but I don't remember a word that he said. All right? So I don't remember anything about it. I just knew I became a Christian, I got to get baptized, and I got a Bible from it. King James Version, it was awesome, still have it. And so, that's the deal. The church I grew up in, we had a big stage, all right? Bigger than in there, because we had to have the whole church choir sit behind the pastor. Maybe you've got that experience, maybe you haven't. But we had the church choir sitting behind the pastor, and then behind the choir, there was this huge wall, all right? It was this huge wall with brick stones in it. And the first half was like this shade of red, and the next half was this gray. And it was probably like 2 to 3 stories tall, right? Probably around 3 stories tall. Just this gigantic wall that went behind the choir. And in the middle of it, there was this huge square where curtains were, right? Well, for us, like I said, baptism was important. So if somebody became a Christian, they were baptized. If you wanted to be a member of our church, you had to be baptized. So even if you were a Christian, but you had not gone through believer's baptism, you had to be baptized if you wanted to become a member. So like every month or two, we would have a service with baptism. And so you'd look, and the curtains from the square would be drawn apart. And in the middle, standing there, was our pastor, wearing this white flowing robe. All right? Kind of like the angels, the movie angels do, or like movie Jesus. Except the deal was, my pastor did not quite have the hair that movie Jesus did, because he was suffering with a receding hairline, except it was really, it was kind of weird. It was only on one side. It was like, this part went back to here. All right? This side was fine. And so he did this comb over deal. But anyway, we're getting off track. So, he is standing there in this white flowing robe in the middle of the baptismal pool, all right? So we had this section lined up, or this part of the church in which we had a baptism pool that was behind these curtains, curtains drawn, Pastor Robert Wimburn in his movie Jesus robe standing there, and then from the side, people would come walking in one by one, all right? You'd walk in, you'd wear your white flowing robe, so your movie Jesus robe, you'd get in the water. He would recite something, some along the lines of, do you promise to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior for as long as you both shall live? Okay, you do. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You get up, you walk off, next person comes in. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Then you go, all right? And so we've got like this baptism assembly line coming through, all right? A little baptism assembly line where people just come through. And so, everybody, I mean, baptism was huge. You got baptized. If you were a part of our church, you were baptized, okay? I don't know how it was done. Like I said, I don't remember the meeting. And so I'm sure they probably taught on what baptism was, give them the benefit of the doubt and say they did. But we never once was there a sermon series on baptism or what it meant. My guess is that you have probably only heard maybe one series on baptism. And so it's not something that is taught often. All right. And so then that's my experience growing up. And then I come here, all right? Baptism's a little different here, all right? For instance, we don't have the big square, all right? The big baptismal pool. We drag out like this little above-ground pool, mini above-ground pool, put a heater up to it so you don't freeze and dunk people in it, all right? There is not a part of our church that is dedicated to baptism, all right? Also, when we have baptism, the pastor is not the only person who baptizes people. I mean, I remember the first time I'm walking in and was like, huh, that's not Matt Williams. What's he doing? That's cute. What's this guy doing? But it's not just done by the pastor. And nobody's wearing these movie Jesus robes. You got people walking in t-shirts and bathing suits and getting baptized in that. And so the experience is a lot different. And that's just the differences in two churches who hold a pretty similar view on baptism. Like we haven't even talked about infant baptism. Done that in. And so here's the deal. I realize there are a lot of different views on baptism. There's probably a lot of confusion on what baptism is. So we are going to discuss that this morning. Hopefully answer some of your questions. All right, we're going to start this morning with what is baptism. All right, here's what you'll see. If you were to read through the New Testament, you'd see that baptism is done in one in only one way. All right? And that is which one person is immersed, which means put completely under water, and then brought up again. In the New Testament, that is the only way you see baptism carried out. All right? If you start in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you read in there, the very beginnings, you're going to encounter this guy that we refer to as John the Baptist. All right? This is Jesus' weird social outcast of a cousin who wears camel skin, eats bugs, yells at people, tells them they need to repent and be baptized because the kingdom of God is near. All right? You'll be introduced to this guy. And do you know where you find him? Near at the Jordan River. Why would he be at the Jordan River? All right? Because he's baptizing people and he needs enough water to immerse them, to put them under, and bring them back out. All right? He's not flicking people in the head with water. All right? You get to the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. All right? Philip is this Christian guy who is put in the path of this Ethiopian guy. He shares the gospel with him. The Ethiopian becomes a Christian. As they travel along, you come to this verse. Acts 9:36 says this. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. All right? Here's what you don't read, all right? He doesn't say, he became a Christian. The Ethiopian guy said, "Here's my Nalgene. Why don't you dunk some on me? Dump it on my head and we'll be good to be baptized." They find a river because the only way, the only mode that baptism is carried out in the New Testament is by immersion, all right? That the person is dunked under the water, and then brought back up. All right? So, baptism, as far as it's described in the Bible, is the physical act of being immersed in water and brought up again. But here's the deal. That is not all it is. Baptism is a physical act that symbolizes a spiritual reality. So it is the act of being immersed in water, brought up again, but it also carries with it huge symbolism that describes what is going on spiritually. All right? So, if that's true, if baptism is a physical act that symbolizes a spiritual reality, we need to ask ourselves, what does it symbolize? All right? Because we see in the New Testament, it's being immersed in water, brought up again, but it holds more weight than that. So, here's what I need y'all to do. I need a couple people. Read some verses. Colossians 2:12. All right? Acts 22:16. Noah, you can take Galatians 3:27. Yeah, Nick, you can take Acts 2:38. All right? So we got Colossians 2:12, which, Liza, you're doing that. Acts 22:16, which, Rami, you've got that. Noah, you've got Galatians 3:27. And, Nick, you got Acts 2:38. All right, Liza, let us know when you're ready. All right, here we go. Colossians 2:12. You ready?
Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him, through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead.
All right, here we go. Colossians 2:12, you see that it says, "For you were buried with Christ, you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." So, what here does baptism symbolize? All right. That's part of it. death and resurrection. So in this, yeah, put it, you said coming back, you said raised, also death. In this, you see, in baptism, it symbolizes that we are uniting ourselves with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. All right? So it is a reminder of the gospel right there. So 1 Colossians 2:12 says it's a symbol identifying us with Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection. Acts 22:16, Rami, you got it?
And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name.
I think it says wash, maybe not wish. All right. All right. So Acts 22:16 says this. This is Jesus. All right. This is Paul giving his account to others about his salvation experience, about him coming to know Christ. And Jesus says to Paul, all right, he says, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord. So in this, what does baptism symbolize? All right. That our sins have been washed away. So in Acts 22, you see that baptism is a symbol that we have been washed clean of our sins. The water in there symbolizes the washing clean of our sins. All right? So we got death, burial, resurrection. We have the fact that our sins have been washed away. Let's go to Galatians 3:27. Noah, you got it?
And I'm united with Christ in baptism. I put on Christ like putting on new clothes.
All right. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ like putting on new clothes. What's baptism represent? Liza. New life in Christ. The fact that we have been made new. So in baptism, we have death, burial, resurrection, identifying ourselves with Christ in that. We have the fact that we have been washed clean of our sins. In Galatians 3, we see that it's a symbol showing that we have been made new, that we have new life in Christ. All right? Acts 2:38. Nick, you got it?
And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
All right. So see, Peter says, repent of your sins, turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins. What does baptism symbolize? All right, shows that we have been forgiven of our sins. It also shows that we have turned away from the world, from ourselves, and we have turned to Christ. The whole deal with repentance. So you see, it's a symbol showing that we have turned away from the world, from ourselves, for salvation, and have turned towards Jesus. So in this, we have baptism. It's the physical act of being immersed in water, being brought up again. But with that, it shows what's going on inside spiritually, what has taken place in us spiritually, that we have been united with Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection, that we're going to die, but we're going to be raised from the dead again. All right? That we have been washed clean of our sins. Our sins have been forgiven, that we have been made a new creation, and that we have turned from the world. We've turned away from ourselves, and we've turned to Christ. All of this is symbolized in baptism. All right? So this is what's going on. It's saying that here's what's happened to you. All right? When you became a Christian, all these things took place. But baptism is a way to communicate that to others. To say, all this has taken place in me spiritually, and so now I'm going to have an outward expression. It's a way for us to communicate what has happened to us to the church, to non-believers. And when I say church, I mean the body of believers. So it's a way for us to communicate what has happened to us spiritually to other believers. It's a way for us to communicate to non-believers what has happened to us. All right? And so in this, we are entering into relationship with the church. we're letting know that, yes, we are a Christian. It's a way for us to make our faith public, because as you've probably been taught before, your faith, it's personal, it's happened to you, but it's not private. Your faith is a public deal, and baptism is a way for us to make that public. So here's a question. All right? Who should be baptized? Why do you say that? All right? Sam, if you didn't hear, he said, Christians. All right? So, why would we say Christians should be baptized? Dane. Okay. All right. So here's what we saw. You want to add to it? Okay. So here's what we just read in those verses. Baptism symbolizes that the person who has been baptized has been united to Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection, that their sins have been forgiven, they have been washed clean of their sins, all right? That they have turned from themselves, from the world, have turned to Jesus, all right? And that that we've been made new, all right? The baptism symbolizes all that. So shouldn't the people who are baptized be people who have experienced all that? So what people have been forgiven of their sins, have been made new, have identified themselves with Christ in the death, burial, and resurrection? What group of people? Christians. So if baptism symbolizes all that, which the Bible says it does, then shouldn't only the people who have experienced that be baptized? It would not make sense for somebody to be baptized if they haven't experienced that. And Christians are that group of people. Alright? So, here's the deal. I know this might rub you the wrong way. Some of you were probably baptized as an infant. And so your question might be, okay? Alright, you just said that Christians should be baptized. But I was baptized as an infant. I became a Christian when I was 6 or 12 or whatever age it was. And so do I still need to be baptized, considering technically I was as an infant? And my answer would be yes. Because technically, you were not a believer when you were an infant. Nobody is born a believer. In fact, we're born just the opposite. If you read in Ephesians 2, it says, we were born deserving the wrath of God. All right? Nobody is born saved. And so, baptism is to show that you have become a Christian. So, baptism should be done when you become a Christian. So, if you ask me that question, I was baptized as an infant. Do I still need to be baptized even though I became a Christian later? My answer would be yes. In order for it to be a baptism that lines up with what the New Testament depicts, yes. All right? So, Christians should be baptized. Only Christians should be baptized. And all Christians should be baptized. All right? Let's answer this. Why should I be baptized? Here's what I want to make clear. Baptism does not bring salvation. All right? You do not need to be baptized to go to heaven. All right? Only one thing brings salvation, and that's faith in Christ. And that's it. As you saw in Acts, I think it was Acts 2:38, it says, repent of your sins, turn to God, and then be baptized. All right? Baptism does not bring salvation. If it was, then the thieves on the cross, they would have been doomed to hell. But Christ said to one of them, you'll see me in paradise. All right? They didn't take him off the cross, baptize him, put him back up, and then he died. All right? So, baptism does not bring salvation. I want to make that clear. So, why should you be baptized? I could say, okay, I just gave you the symbolism, and that should be enough for you to. But we're not going to go that route. I could walk you through the New Testament and see, here is the progression. Somebody becomes a believer, they're baptized, then they enter fellowship with the church. Believer, baptized, enter fellowship with the church. But we're not going to walk through that either. Instead, we're just going to read one verse. It's a verse that all of you have probably heard. It's Matthew 28:19. Here's what it says. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Who's talking here? We're a little later in the story. It is Jesus. Anybody know when? All right. So after, as Bailey said, after Christ died, he rose from the dead, he's getting ready to ascend, he's talking to his disciples, and he's giving them instructions before he ascends into heaven. And here's what he says. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So before he ascends, in his final instructions that we have listed, he is commanding baptism. He's commanding it. So why should you be baptized? Because Jesus commands it. All right? Even Jesus himself was baptized. You find that story if we go to Matthew 3, all right, 13 through 15. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, but John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said, so why are you coming to me? Here's the deal with John. John understands baptism. He's thinking, as you might, why in the world would Jesus need to be baptized? Because part of being baptized is showing that you've been forgiven of your sins. Jesus, he didn't sin. All right? Part of it is showing that you are repenting, you are turning from yourself and from the world and to God. Jesus, he didn't need to repent. So John's saying, hold on, you want me to baptize you? If anybody here needs to be baptized, I do. Not you, Jesus, because I've sinned. I have a repentance issue. I need to repent. So I don't really understand, why would I need to baptize you? You need to baptize me. And so let's look at Jesus' response. But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. In here, you see, it's an obedience issue for Christ. It's an obedience, right? He is baptized because in order for him to be fully obedient to God, he has to be baptized, right? Same for us. Baptism is an obedience issue. We could think and say, well, I'm a Christian, and so I don't really want to be baptized, and so I'm not going to. But the truth is, it's more like you're saying, well, I'm a Christian. God commands that I be baptized. I don't want to follow him, so I'm not going to. It's an obedience issue. All right? So, regardless of, some of you may think, the way Grace does it, I'll have to make a video. I'll have to be on the screen, and I'll have to walk out in front of everybody, and that's embarrassing. And I don't want to do that. So, regardless of the humility it might bring, it's an obedience issue. Do you want to follow God in this area? All right? The application this morning, really easy. Really easy. Under your chair, you'll see some response cards. All right? If you do not have one, you do not need to yell. Just raise your hand, and Laura will bring one to you. Or Alicia will also help. All right? Here's the deal. This morning, some of you, all right, may have just said, you know what? I've never been baptized. And so that's a step I need to take. If I'm going to be obedient to Christ, then I need to be baptized. And so there's an opportunity for you to check that. All right? Some of you may think, there was a lot of talk about being a Christian, about being washed new, being your sins washed away, being made new, being united with Christ in death, burial, resurrection. And I have no idea what Dion's talking about. And so I got some questions about that. Check that. All right? Some of you may be thinking, I was baptized as an infant, and I hear you saying that I need to be baptized as a believer, and I don't know if I agree with that, and I got some questions. Write your questions down. Turn it in. What you're going to do is you're going to have the opportunity to reflect to see where are you on this issue, what do you need to do to be obedient. The band's going to come up. They're going to play. You're just going to sit. You're going to reflect, fill out the card, put your name on it, because if you have a question and your name's not on it, we can't really answer the question to you because we don't know who it is. So put your name on it, check whatever, and you will have, where's the basket? We're going to put a basket on that table so that when you leave, you can put the card and your pencil or pen in there. All right? So band's going to play. Just sit, reflect, think about what obedience in the area of baptism means for you. All right. Pray with me. God, I thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, I thank you for Christ who was obedient in all things, even in humbling himself to be baptized. Though, Lord, he knew no sin and had no sin and had no need to repent, Lord, he still wanted to be obedient to you. And so I pray that, God, we would be the same. That whatever that means for us this morning, that our desire would be to love and obey you. And so that if that means humbling ourselves and being baptized, that we would do that. If that means investigating a little bit more to figure out about this issue, that we would do that. But Lord, that you would help us lay our pride aside, and we would seek to obey you.